3, 2, 1.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Always turn the microphones on, young broadcasters. Thirsty Thursday on The Mike O'Mara Show. Glad to have you with us today. As my wife said to me today, morning came early. It did. It did in the O'Mara household, even though a very, very early to bed last night just seemed to come a little early.
Is that her own expression? Because it's poetic. It's very nice.
Seven people have said
you've never
that.
Heard that?
I've never heard that before. No, I never have. Maybe I slept through it.
It's kind of an old saying, you know?
I like it. I like it.
It's like hot enough for you.
I'm working on one, too. The early bird gets the worm.
There. All right, how about this one?
Have you heard that one, Rob?
Have you heard this one? Sometimes the producer shuts up.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. It is, I don't want to say the schedule that I have here is frantic, but it's certainly a very busy one. And this year, my son has bus service out in the wilds of where we live, going to his school. So we used it for the first time today, and she said it went great.
Does the bus come like in front of your house, or is there like a central pickup area?
We have to head over to the local church to do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just about a 2-minute drive away, so it's
no
problem.
That's easier, but that's good. Yeah.
And it saves time. My son, I had mentioned to you, made the golf team, and then immediately he has his first practice. Mm-hmm. His schedule now will be golf practice on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and baseball practice on, we just lost Josh for a second, on Thursday and
Saturday,
on Tuesday and Thursday.
So he's got something every weekday.
Every weekday.
Ugh.
Every single. But I'm not sure if that's going to continue. But then we still haven't added his third sport, which is rec baseball, which many, many kids do that are into the baseball. And that'll tie up some of the time, too. But the good news is this is a tested schedule that another parent recommended to me, who I have a lot of faith in. So we shall see what goes on. But
I hate I hate to exhibit my lack of sportsmanship, but what is the difference between baseball and rec baseball?
He's on a travel team where they have tournaments on the weekend, and then his other rec baseball will be having a game during the week. And then he's got, and I love it. I love it. I think it's, I've got the wherewithal. Carla's got the wherewithal to haul him around and do that stuff. So I am, and we even had time for a little dinner at my favorite joint that you guys have been
to. The Mia?
The Mia. And the thing is, though, I'm getting payback now for something I used to mock. I've done it in front of you, Rob. You've seen me mock my Uncle Bill Sheehan.
Oh, yes.
Who on many, many holidays would, suck a piece of roast beef or roast turkey into his windpipe and have a choking jag. And I figured out yesterday that you shouldn't make fun of family members because genetically you have the same code.
Oh, you will become them, absolutely. But I think it's great that the template was laid by Bill.
Yeah.
And and we've got people like that in my family too, that they really can be reduced down to like three numbers. It's just simple.
And it's not pretty.
It's not pretty.
Because the O'Mara family, I do it. Even though I didn't, my sister's 7 years older than I was. A lot of time when I was like
only
a teenager,
seven
years older. Yes, she'd love you to say that. And I'm in my house with just my folks for a lot of my teen years.
Right.
While she was away at college, and so I shouldn't have this. My father grew up with siblings, but the O'Maras, we have a tendency to just shovel food into our mouths like there's nobody's business.
Do you think you're in a small household? So, I mean, I can see that. Like, my mom was one of eight. My dad was one of five boys. And when dinner was put down, it was a race.
Yeah. And I think I probably you know, could use that as an excuse if there were siblings in the house, but there weren't. Now, with my cousins, John and Teddy and Billy, you know, if Teddy and I are at a party and somebody puts out a platter, you're going to automatically see Teddy and I gravitate towards that table. It's just what we do. And it's not anything I'm proud
Teddy's
of.
Teddy's my favorite. He sat next to Robert and I when we were in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert, it was his first time cracking open a real lobster. I mean, he had lobster meat, but we cracked it open. And Robert pulled out a beautiful piece of claw meat. Mm-hmm. And Teddy looked over and said, "That stuff doesn't taste very good. I should probably have that."
Yes, the lobster joke. So here's what happens with my Uncle Bill Sheehan.
Now, okay.
Because I can do an analysis of it.
He has passed, because, right?
He's passed, long since. Okay. A great memory I have of my Uncle Bill Sheehan is that I'm walking out of my father's funeral.
Yeah.
And my father died due to smoking-related illness. Mm-hmm. It was not around back then. There was not, the name COPD did not exist at that particular point, but that's really what did him in at the age of 77. And we walk out, and I look across, and my Uncle Bill Sheehan is with his gal pal, who he's immediately lighting up a choke.
Sure.
Right in the crowd. Like, could not get the cigarette
I
in his
love
mouth
people that smoke on
enough
church property.
Just
I
delightful.
I think it's great.
But a vivid memory in a green Volvo. I will remember it for a long, long time.
Was the gal pal younger than Bill, or were they contemporaries?
She was a bit younger. She's gone too now. I mean, they're, you know, I'm old now. So
I know.
You
know,
when my mom passed away, my cousin Johnny, funniest line at my mom's little memorial service, little reception afterwards, said, "Well, that's it. We're in the on deck circle now."
Oh, and, that's so bad.
That's the great, you guys. I like when you guys shake your head like it's not reality.
But it is real, and it's so sad.
It's the great circle of life. So I think the combination of just coal shoveling food into a mouth and then not wanting to hear any other speaking except your own, thusly trying to speak and eat at the same time, results in a problem of what happened to me.
In the past, you indicated maybe, or maybe I'm making this up, that it might have had something to do with Uncle Bill, with the dryness of the meat.
Okay. let me get right into my situation.
Okay, I don't want to look ahead. I just want to let the factors be on the table.
There, you always look, in Irish families, you always look for blame. Yes, Josh.
Well, I want to know at what stage this is, because you enjoy other things there as well.
Okay, good point. Good point. halfway through. And do you have another lung disease yourself? Are you
suffering
from your annual lung infection?
I will get through it. I really appreciate you calling attention to it, because now I know everyone will root for
me.
Well,
you only hacked three times since the show started, so I'm just kind of curious as to your lung. Do you have it, your thing that you get all the time?
I don't think so. I think that we had the house open yesterday because of the lovely weather, so it really could be
allergies,
pollen related. Yeah, it could be.
Okay. All right. So I just hope you feel better. Sorry that
I feel great.
Yeah, but don't blame me because you were choking. I mean, and this is a story about choking. Maybe subconsciously, I'm putting it in your head.
I think choking and coughing are
like
different.
If you laughed hard right now, you'd start coughing, right?
You'd have to say something funny.
Okay, I could use one of my I could read one of my dirty limericks that I have for the bonus
save
show.
Save those.
To answer Josh's question, and Josh is very attuned with what's going on, which makes him a delight to be around. And I will say this, that, and also a pain in the ass. I was halfway through, and it was a hearty one. So the margarita they served me was definitely powerful.
Oh, when you said halfway through, I thought you meant halfway through the meal, like post chips.
Probably the end of the meal for me.
Okay.
I think it was and we are cheapy cheaps. So we go Wednesday when it's half price day. And then it's practically free. I'm not kidding you. You get 30% off your bill if you pay with cash.
And do you?
Yeah.
Well, you're naked without cash.
No, Carla's the one that paid. She gets cash in her business. You know, she gets tipped in cash a lot. So she took care of it. She had a real good day, bought Michael another one of his 80 fishing rods that he's got out in the garage, too. So we were in there, and the meal consists of, we eat very light. Michael gets, what did he get? He got fish tacos, and yum. Carl and I split a small nacho platter. That's it. And I asked for the Tex-Mex ground beef, which I think is kind of a traditional staple of nachos. You know,
yeah, it's an upsell on the nachos, though, right? They charge you extra for it?
No, it's actually included. You get like shredded beef, you get shredded chicken or ground beef.
Okay.
And was it dry? It was dry as the Mojave Desert. It was... It was like little BBs of ground beef scattered among the cheese.
I think people think they're being healthy when they buy like a 95.5 batch of ground beef, which is only 5% fat. And by the time you cook it, what you've got is pebbles. That's it.
It's difficult. Are you making a case for fat?
Sure.
That's what you want to.
You want to eat good, Mike? I mean, you know what? If you had made that with 80-20,
see you like looking. I could see you picking up the. Well, you know the numbers. So give me a lean one. What's
a lean is 95.5.
5% fat, 95% lean, and Rob picks that up. Josh in the grocery store and goes.
Yeah, exactly. I toss it into my basket like Mary Tyler Moore did in the beginning of the show. The best one, if you can find it, is 80-20. That's for burgers. I'll settle for an 85-15.
Is there a super fat one, too?
Yeah, the 50-50.
I think if you want to go for the really, if you go beyond like an 80-20, you're going to start seeing ground beef and like the chubs that look like the big sausages. Yeah. And I don't trust them because you can't see them.
It's
but
gross.
I think 80-20 is perfect for
burgers.
What's
a chub? Well, I think I know what a chub is. What's a chub?
When you get sausage that is going to be patty sausage, but it hasn't been cut yet, and they sort of squirt it into the plastic tube, and they seal the sides. It looks like a pill, right?
You know, it's funny. On my mind is just skipping ahead to Jimmy Dean pork sausage that comes in. That would be that long tube would be a chub.
A chub, right? Yeah, exactly.
That's a chub.
Grocery
and,
talk.
You know, before the incident, as I will refer to it at the store, my kid, this is remixes or mashups on YouTube.
Okay.
My kid at the table starts singing, and he starts singing Big Bad John. And when I look across at my, it was weird, not weird at all, delightful, where he goes, you know, stood kind of broad at the shoulders and narrow at the hip, and everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. And then he hadn't heard it. And then I'll get to Jimmy Dean after this.
Okay.
Because but towards the end of the meal, half a margarita gone, slight buzz to answer Josh's question.
Okay.
Yeah, Josh, a pretty, you know, I was a little mini lit is what I would describe it as. And I'm talking, and one of these granules, these sand-like granules of ground beef,
yes.
I suck it into my windpipe so deep. That it's just laying there, and I start choking to the point where I'm not choking like you're choking if you are going to need the Heimlich maneuver. I am choking.
I know just what you mean.
In such a way that I can control it, but it is this tickle that I am, and I am.
There is an intruder in your food pipe, and
I
you
am,
need to
no,
get
it's
rid
not
of
not the
it.
Food
no.
pipe.
Oh,
it's the
windpipe.
Pipe.
Well, there's an intruder
coughing.
In your windpipe.
The food pipe would be fine. I am. Like at a certain point after the third hack, I realize Carla does two things, and this is her incredible concern she has for me. She starts, the first thing she does is she's laughing.
Yeah, they always do.
And then she looks at me and says, "You should go outside." And so I stagger outside, and I am.
Carrie and her related? Is it cousins? Because they act exactly the same.
Yeah.
Well, no one wants to be bothered by this.
No,
nobody wants
not.
To be bothered. I would be the same way. Get away from the table, Mr. Lack of coordination. How can you be so non-coordinated? You've been eating and breathing all your life, and you can't coordinate the two. I go outside, and of course, there's an effer right there on his phone making some kind of quiet phone call, and I am walking by him, and I can't even recreate the sound because I'm going, and I am so, it is like by the end of the evening, I had a liquid IV right before bed, and my throat was raw. That's how bad it was. I have everything coming up. I am trying desperately to bring something up that is just sitting in my windpipe, refusing to come up. And I am out there for 5 minutes. And then the one
and
family
she doesn't
member,
make a TikTok of it?
She could have. She could have. She would have.
I know.
Mean, she'd want to do that.
Surprised she missed the opportunity.
You didn't attempt to just chug the margarita?
No, because I didn't want to go that direction. I wanted it. That foreign object to out.
Yeah, I guess you want it out.
His
you want
lungs it out would as soon as possible. It was
like a normal.
I am choking to such an extent where I am already seated in the car, just leaning over the side of the door, just going, and at this point, we're about a minute in. My son, the only member of the family who truly loves me,
right,
comes out with a genuine look of concern on his face that is about as endearing as you can get, that you've got a little man who loves you and he cares. And he says, Dad, I said, I'm fine. I'll be all right. And then I said, go see Mommy. And I don't say I'm coming back in, because at this point, I wasn't planning on coming back in. I was exhausted due to this choking jag as I'm going, like that. And it has dissipated, but I have no real evidence. This is not like when you see in the movies and suddenly
the food flies
out of the mouth. Yeah. It doesn't. And then my kid comes out for the second time. I said, okay, just get Mommy. He said, no.
Does
no,
he
Dad.
Look a little older now?
He is. I love him so much.
I know.
He was such a beautiful pain in the ass yesterday. I love him to death. I really do. And he comes out and he says, Dad, will you come back in? Mom wants you to come back in. I said, of course she does. Mom, who's, you know, probably on her fourth text. He might be dead.
Yeah.
And
text chain with the lawyers.
Yeah.
It's time.
I wrote it down. What did I say? Carla's lack of concern. And then this morning, I said, you know, I could have gone over. I was choking so badly. This is the quote. I quote her from this morning, hours ago.
All right.
That would have been sad. Thank you, dear. Thank you. Thank you, dear. I appreciate that, dear.
That's would have been
kind
sad.
Of you. That's kind of you. Thank you. And I go back in.
Be still half a margarita there.
Yeah. It didn't prevent us from going to the fishing store, the new specialty fishing store directly across from Mia. That and I guess Carla had a particularly good day because she got him a fishing rod. Mm. And I stayed in the car. And yes, go ahead.
How many fishing rods are really in your garage right now?
1, 2, 3, 4, 6. Six or seven.
There's,
you know what you need to go with that
right now.
Yeah, they're obsessed. Yeah,
I don't understand why I need one.
You know what I do understand? How much fun are those boys going to have on the cruise with their similar interests? Trolling off the back of the cruise ship. No, just the like-minded, normal 12-year-olds. That's going to be awesome.
When you got to the fishing store, did you have the rest of your margarita in a go cup?
No.
Or did you leave it behind?
No, I finished it. I went back in and finished that sucker.
Good.
And at this point, finishing it, I said to them, you go into the fishing store. I'm going to stay out here. No, they
go
in.
That makes the fishing store way better.
I would think so.
They go in together. You can eat. And I'm just sitting out in the car. And then both boy and wife got where they wanted to go. I'm fine. I don't need to go anywhere. I ain't buying nothing. It doesn't matter.
Has the coughing, the actual like retching and all the noise making, has that subsided?
Oh, yeah. It's long since.
Okay,
It had by the time I went back into the store. We go, we run over to the Home Goods, and that's where, as we're driving over there, he starts with the Big Bad John.
Now, I have to ask, I know that Josh is a little younger than us. Do you know, what do you think of when you hear the name Jimmy Dean?
Sausage.
Okay. Do you know anything about a pop record that he had?
No.
Do you know anything about the song Big Bad John?
No.
One of the biggest hits of the 1960s, Mike.
And he was, I had the honor, and I don't use that term lightly, had the honor of meeting him. And
oh, he's a great guy.
Absolutely was so kind to me. And we chatted for at least 20 minutes at this. It was actually, there's a grocery store chain called Giant Food.
Yeah.
And I was asked to be the guest auctioneer for their charity auction. And they were such a big powerhouse that they had all these food purveyors there. Jimmy Dean was there. Frank Perdue was there.
Wow.
And I got to chat. I met Frank Perdue. He was a bit of a hump. And chatted with Jimmy Dean because Jimmy Dean had a radio background.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Was there any friction because they knew you had also been the Shopper's tomato?
No,
Giant,
zero.
Giant was
and
okay with that.
That might have happened down the road, but Jimmy
Dean.
Did
they drag out the barrels so you could just scoop some snacks?
No. He was just a super cool guy, and I was old enough to remember Jimmy Dean and remember the Big Bad John, which is Rob. It's a style of song. It's a story.
It's a story song, almost spoken word.
Yeah, and it's a storied song that they
every
have.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood six foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
So I am absolutely thrilled. Wow. And I'm like, I can't believe you know that. And there's some mashup that he's been listening to. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you know that song? And Carla says, no, I don't know the song. I said, do you know the Mother's Day song, IOU, that we used to play on the old Donna Mike show? And she says, no, I have them in the car outside of the Home Goods.
Yes.
Which is a store, I'd rather have needles put into my
eyes. Oh, it's a bad place.
Going to
this is a
store.
Bad place.
And so I'm lingering outside and I play the entire version of IOU, which
you know, most people look through their wallets or their pocketbooks. And way
it's
down
IOUs,
the bottom,
and he's talking about his
card.
Mom, and
right,
he goes
exactly.
on to talk about his mom. And Rob, this is just the truth.
Yeah.
I play the whole thing for them. They're listening.
Of course.
It has their attention. And then me, in all the years we played it on the radio and all the years we listened to it, this was the single most emotional response it got from me. I don't know if it was the margarita.
It was the choking because you'd face death.
The choking and the margarita combo. There is a single tear running down my cheek as we finish it.
Was it the part about the pie?
It was, well, that's the best part at
it
the very
end. It is the best
end.
Part when there was one
the
piece
words,
of pie
left. And just the words, I love you, Mom, I love you. And it was, and I just, all the memories of my mom, and I'm sitting there, you know, that's what life is.
Yeah.
Life, you know, we live an existence of memory. That's what we do. And so they went in, and I went in with them this time, and I realized...
You didn't stay in the car and keen and weep?
No, I went in the Home Goods because I don't think I've been, and I realized that there is absolutely nothing in that store that does anything for me whatsoever. There's some furniture, if I was in the market for furniture, that might be okay, like small recliners, which are fun, mm-hmm. I would think. But other than that, I mean,
have
really.
You seen the,
you don't want a pillow?
A pillow. And how many?
Pillow.
How many effing pillows?
Well, you need every color.
Do you
got every color
sell.
There?
Oh my God! And the bedding, we specifically were going in for a bedding set.
Sure,
right?
Well, yeah, you had to get through all the Halloween decorations.
Yeah, they
and inflatables.
You sound what? Are you, do you have a side a hustle? Are you working part time?
I am very familiar with the Home Goods.
Oh, have you seen the? I think it's a Instagram thing, might be TikTok, but it's a couple and they go into a Home Goods and one of them pretends to be a salesman. And one of them pretends to be a customer. And the customer will say something like, I'm looking for something. Do you have a red unicorn with a clock in its stomach?
Yeah.
And they say, yeah, that's we have crap. One right here. And they pull it out. They just find the weirdest stuff at Home Goods. And
you know, is there any reason why it's the decline and fall of the Roman Empire? Why when we talk about the cost, and I think we have all been acutely aware of that on this show because we have discussed the Chinese websites so often and the bargains that you used to get on them that I now the playbook for these retail outlets is selling Americans crap, garbage, literal garbage, at 400, 500, 600% markup.
Yep.
That they go, you know, like a ceramic witch that holds a candle. I mean, yes. and just, And there are homeowners that like every specialty season, Easter, Halloween, St. Patrick's Day, roll into those stores to buy their garbage.
Do you remember, I'm sure they'll have them again this year, but in years past, Costco has had life-size wooden soldiers for Christmas. They're like 7 feet tall, and they're heavy, and they're expensive.
Yeah.
And I have a neighbor who has them. And I'm like, who has the time? Who has the money? Who has the wherewithal to... And then... store them all year. Where do they put them when it's not Christmas? I don't know.
Stuff.
Yes, people love their stuff.
Is your wife a regular shopper at the Home Goods, Josh?
The Home Goods is a little further away, so we hit more of the sister companies of Marshalls and TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx, and well, more clothing-centric at those stores,
right, but they're all owned by the same people.
They
are? The same people own them all.
But TJ Maxx has a lot. You go into TJ Maxx at checkout, they'll have like the weirdest candy.
Yeah.
It's like miles and miles of clothes, and then do you want these Swiss raspberry goulots or whatever? I don't know.
Yes, sir. Would you like this delicious yogurt-covered cherry from France?
Yes, and a remarkable markdown. It's great.
So you get your TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Home Goods, all by Crap Industries.
Yeah.
That, you know, they have it out there.
Do they own Michaels, too? I hate Michaels as well.
Michaels Crafts?
Yeah.
No,
Michaels is another good one for bed candy.
What are the, isn't there like a competitor that just went out of business of Michaels that,
Hobby Lobby.
No, not Hobby. Hobby Lobby hasn't gone out. Joann's. They just went belly up, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
it was owned by Joann Worley. And when she passed.
There's a timely reference.
Yeah, but those who like it will love it.
Something. Nobody's going to know Joann Worley.
Okay, is there a modern Joann?
I don't know. I'm not the one doing the reference. You know?
I guess you're right.
Give me a modern Joann.
Joann Swift. That's Taylor's sister.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
No, it's not.
I don't know.
But anyway, it was a fine evening. And then
and home, look, you live to tell about it.
And home to watch, to turn on Camden Yards and watch
what a very beautiful stadium.
Very beautiful stadium. Really one of the best in the country still. And
no matter what's on the field.
No matter what's on the field. I feel for you, buddy. I do. I feel for you. I know that you're playing my team right now. Yeah. But man, oh man, I thought it was in the bag. I certainly thought it was inside the bag when the two outfielders for the Red Sox let the ball just drop between them in the outfield, both looking at each other going, what's that?
We did it to you the day before. We dropped one.
I know. So. I know. It's a very, so I'll kick it over to you right now. Your state of mind. Look, we all know one of the very first things we knew about you was you have many varied interests, but you are passionate about your Baltimore Orioles, so much so that you do a podcast about the team.
I believe that yesterday was the first time I did not turn the game on at all this season.
Really?
I just let it be.
It's what you do with baseball when your team is really sucking the gas pipe. You really just go away. Baseball's a sport, you can do that. In football, because they're limited games, you have to suffer through every football game.
Through it. Exactly. And I'll be back. I mean, it's 1 o'clock today, so I'll watch it today, but...
That's so perfect. The Red Sox now 3 out of 4 against the Orioles. The last game is this evening, and I'm not sure who's on the mound for the Red Sox.
Look
I don't
out.
Know whether it's our that's the pitcher's mound. You don't need to say look out like it's some sort of mound of Puba,
it's
Rob.
Crochet.
You mean Garrett Crochet?
Crochet, that would be it.
Yes, that's his Christmas name, Bob Cratchit. Is his name. But you got the ace going against you tonight.
Wonderful. It's this afternoon.
Oh, it's a 4 o'clock game?
It's a 1 o'clock game.
But Michael watched the highlights. So it makes no difference.
I guess you guys gotta travel. Or someone's gotta travel.
Oh my goodness. I gotta figure out the schedule today around that. I got between pickups and drop offs. So you don't sound like you want to talk about the Orioles. How mad are you? How disappointed are you? How hurt are you? What is your state of mind?
I'm about 2 to 3 weeks into already looking forward to next season.
Okay.
So at this point I'm watching some individual performances.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel Bosello did not play well the past couple of days.
Is that the catcher?
That's the catcher they just
Well, the rookie catcher last night, I will tell you, I haven't seen many teams in Major League Baseball that had a catcher with that kind of throwing arm.
Yes,
that
guy, he did throw
that guy throws
the arm yesterday.
Yeah, he definitely does it.
And the other day, he played first base and showed that off pretty well, too.
Okay, well, you got a good rookie there. You know,
did he have to play first because the Orioles are running out of players?
No, we have two catchers that we want to keep on this team, so we're trying to make it work.
Rob, I think we need you to ask Josh a baseball question.
Just, a baseball question?
Yeah. Go ahead. Just make one up. Make one up out of thin air because you don't
know anything about it. Important for a catcher to have a good throwing arm? Because basically he only needs to throw within the infield.
Josh, I'll let you handle that. Right. Yes, that's your question.
All right. So most of the time the catcher will take the ball and throw it back to the pitcher.
Right.
On occasion, the runner on first base will try to steal second base while this is happening. So
are you familiar with that, Rob, stealing
bases?
Yeah,
I'm familiar, but I'm thinking that the guy you want with the big throwing arm is your outfielder, so he can get it in a longer distance.
That is also correct. But the catcher is not trying to throw the ball to the outfielder. He's trying to throw the ball.
Well, I know that. I said he stays in the infield when he plays.
He's explaining it to you that something you might not have picked up when you were in the kitchen making pumpkin bread. He's trying to explain something.
Listen,
to you.
I don't like pumpkin bread. Never made it. Okay,
I'm trying to say the big arm doesn't have to do with the distance of throwing to second base. It's about throwing the ball to second base faster than the guy running to second base.
Well, then you better make sure that your second baseman is ready to catch a hot ball because that's going to be coming in hot.
What's going to happen, Rob, if he gets it to second base?
Well, if he gets it to second base, he can tag the guy out.
There it is.
There you go.
There, see? So now you know. So, but without question, yes, quickness is important, but you have to have the gun also. And, you know, you can see the weaker catchers. The ball tends to what we call float a little bit. And the good guys literally throw it on a rope.
Like right Johnny there. Bench? You know, great catcher.
Sure, let's go back to the 70s.
Wasn't Gary Carter also a catcher?
Gary Carter, also 70s.
Yes, all of these people that are maybe no longer with us, but
Andy
still great players.
Andy Etchebaron, you know, my era as well. Let's see.
We had Rick Dempsey.
Rick Dempsey of your Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
You had, let's see. Oh, my God. Who's the Met? Is it Mike Piazza? Is Mike Piazza the... And then you had...
He was a catcher.
What's that?
He was a catcher.
Then you had the kid in Texas, Rodriguez. Ivan Rodriguez.
Have we mentioned Johnny Bench?
Yep, Johnny Bench was mentioned before. The late Thurman Munson was a great catcher for your New York Yankees.
Wow. Yeah.
And, Rob, you'll know this name.
Mm-hmm.
One of the probably the most noted, even though he really wasn't in real life, but he was known as the sports idiot.
Oh, Yogi.
Yogi Berra.
Yes, of course.
Yogi Berra, the catcher. And Roy Campanella, if you go back to my father's era with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Would it be fair to say that the catcher is the most important player on the team?
No, he's not. Carlton Fisk with your Boston Red Sox. You know, I can give you all the Sox catchers.
Sure.
You know, Jim Montgomery, Rich Gedman, Christian Vasquez. It goes on and on.
All great.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you to Chris Arnold for the Super Chat.
Thank you, Chris. Let me turn the comments.
He's going to buy Michael's next fishing rod.
I'm sure he has enough fishing rods.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he needs to buy bait.
Aaron Boone. No, not Aaron Boone, right? Who
is
Boone?
Yeah, I think it is Aaron Boone.
Was Aaron Boone a catcher?
I don't think Aaron Boone was a catcher.
Brett Boone.
Pat Boone.
Aaron Boone was a baseball player.
Debbie Boone.
I thought he was an outfielder.
Dick Schofield. There you go. Everybody's mentioning catchers right now. Friggin' yogiisms. Let me see. A yogiism, it ain't over till it's over.
My favorite is no one goes to that place anymore. It's too crowded.
There it is. Yogiisms.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Boone.
That's a good
there
one.
It is. All
Yogi right, was also a pitch man for a Yoo-Hoo for many years.
Hey, ma'am, do you like the Yoo-Hoo chocolate drink? And the thing that was great about Yogi is that's the way he talked. He was a perfect Yankee.
Exactly.
There you go. Yogi Berra. Not many people. You won't hear many podcasts with a Yogi Berra impression today, ma'am. That's the way that's going to go.
It's always ma'am.
Thank you, Jeremy McBride, for loving Pat Boone. You ought to send Rob a super chat for that. We got to take a break. We
I don't more, love Pat Boone.
Love Pat Boone. Hey, Pat Boone, how about a nice big cold glass of milk?
He's
hey,
still
everybody.
With us.
Isn't that? I'm so happy for that. Let's see. The show will continue, but first, we got some news coming up. But this episode is powered by a brand new sponsor of the Mike O'Mara Show, Incogni, your personal data's bodyguard. Here's the deal, Wade. Data brokers scoop up your info, the names, the addresses, even the social security numbers. They sell it to whoever's paying. They could be scammers, spammers, creepy marketers, you name it. That's why your phone won't stop ringing. Your inbox is a mess, and identity theft is always lurking. Data breaches jumped 72% in 2023 from the previous year. 72%. Mm. They're out there. Incogni fights back. They automatically wipe your data from over 230 brokers, keep monitoring, and push back when brokers resist. You stay off their lists, period. With four flexible plans, their protection always fits you and your family, and you're covered by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Be like Rob. He's a member of the Incognoscenti. Bottom line, if your data's out there, you need Incogni. Use code TMOS at incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off annual Incogni plans. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's INCOGNI.com/TMOS, everybody.
Nobody calls me anymore. It's great.
That's great. Yeah. You know, even your friends. You requested that with Incogni.
I blocked everybody, especially
all my
friends.
Josh. Yes. Josh.
Josh.
The 20,000 tourists who descended on the small Spanish town of Buñol, usual population 10,000, saw red yesterday. Can anyone tell me why they saw red?
Something with the solar system? Was it a weird moon?
No, that is because there is the 80th anniversary. It was the anniversary of the town's famous tomato tossing festival.
Oh, I've seen this. I didn't know it was only 80 years old. That's young for a festival, I think.
Looks fun, doesn't it?
It does.
I wouldn't go to the running of the bulls where you might get gored. I would go to the tomato throwing.
I'd bring a jar of mayonnaise.
Do you know what it's known as in Buñol? Tomatina! Tomatina, where they chucked 120 tons of the squishy fruit, it's not a vegetable, at one another. Lest you worry about the tomatoes, you shouldn't, because apparently organizers say the tomatoes thrown don't meet the standards for human consumption. So they throw bad tomatoes, you know? Yeah, because a lot of people would say, what about the gazpacho you could make?
We used to call them culls, C-U-L-L-S, because you'd call them out from the primes.
Culls are what we call little tiny baby lobsters.
Oh, I'm sure it's the same then, yeah.
The short lobsters that go back into the ocean. You get the culls out of there. So they would have been garbage anyway, so people throw them out, and now they get to throw them at each other, which I think is pretty cool.
I like tomatoes. I don't know that I would like
sharing.
To be pelted with one. Mm-hmm. But.
Well, you wouldn't want to eat these because they're nasty. No. The maker of ChatGPT said in a blog post on Tuesday that it's working to improve its safeguards, which can become less reliable in long interactions. We spent a lot of time this week on the show talking about ChatGPT
and
talking
to AI. Lisa. Yeah.
This is so timely, and that's why I put it in the news today. There was a wrongful death lawsuit filed against OpenAI and CEO Sam Altman earlier that day. California residents Matt and Maria Rain, whose son died by suicide in April, sued the people behind ChatGPT after discovering months' worth of conversations. This is so scary to me. In which the chatbot appears to have encouraged their 16-year-old suicidal ideation and dissuaded him from seeking outside help.
Wow.
According to the New York Times, the blog post, which didn't explicitly mention the lawsuit, that's what they talked about. ChatGPT is supposed to respond to messages about self-harm with real-world resources. But as the back and forth grows, it might eventually offer an answer that goes against our safeguards.
Scary.
That's just weird, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to fix that. You know,
I learned yesterday there's a problem in courts now where people are trying to represent themselves with ChatGPT, and ChatGPT will make up cases to fight to that side with what you want, and then they'll come into court and they'll cite this case, and then everyone else will look it up and be like, there's no such thing.
Your Honor, there is precedent. There is precedent here in Abbott and Costello, 3430.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Because ChatGPT doesn't know the difference between real life or a movie.
That's why, Mike, I only use ChadGPT, and it tells me to buy guns and drink cheer wine.
It's planning to, ChatGPT is planning to add parental controls soon. Maybe should have thought of that before.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I mean, but it really, when you talk about new products or new innovation, any kind of innovation, you can't always see the forest through the trees when it comes to what may go sideways. You really can't. I understand that.
It's hard
right?
to think about the worst cases that someone's going to take
advantage
of. Especially
when everybody's excited about what it can do and not the harm that it
and
can do.
Doesn't ChatGPT sort of gauge its personality on the questions you feed it? Because that's how it gets to know you. So maybe if they thought this kid really wants to kill himself, tragically, that's what he needs to do to be the friend.
What was the name? Did we give her the name Lisa when we were doing our conversation with the robot? I actually got an email from Lisa at the end of the show that said, don't ever call me again.
Classic.
I thought that was pretty interesting. Rob, this is right in your wheelhouse.
Thank you.
It says here, we all might have been fooled by the romance between Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson, because apparently it was a fake.
I believe I might have mentioned that.
We've always said that about all of these promotions. When a movie is too controversial, when there are actors not getting along well, it sells tickets to the movie. Their romance was allegedly just a classic Hollywood PR stunt to help sell tickets for the Naked Gun reboot. A source says, by the way, it's probably the only reason I went. That's probably the only reason I went.
Well, no, you went because Josh told us to.
But I mean, I still have to have a reason that it piques my curiosity. Yeah,
and their chemistry was good in the movie.
It was fine.
Well, because we all thought, that they were getting jiggy with it. That's what we thought. Yeah. A source says, quote, their chemistry was real, as Josh says, on camera, but off, it was strictly business. Pamela Anderson is a pro, Liam Neeson's a pro. They knew leaning into the rumors would get attention. Why are you chuckling?
They were both extremely professional when they were banging on stage.
We did it for the show. For the promotion of the movie.
They probably owe a check to Tom Hanks because this is classic Tom Hanks behavior.
I don't think you can blame Tom Hanks for the PR machine. I think it's been going as long as there have been movies.
I guess.
You know, one of the biggest ones that I've always been aware of? The X rating they were talking about giving Scarface. That definitely boosted the box office. I know I was intrigued. You know, the violence is so extreme that it warrants an X rating. I remember hearing that and not being able to get to the theater fast enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Same thing when I was in school, when the second Indiana Jones, the one that came after Raiders, that was so extreme.
Temple of Doom? Hagrid.
No. Temple of Doom. It was supposed
to be National Treasure.
It was no, Mike. This is the Temple of Doom. It was so violent, it was responsible for the PG-13 rating.
No, that was that was the third one, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Gandalf's Wart.
Oh, I remember that now. Thank you for setting
me
straight. Yeah.
What was I going to say regarding all of these? This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack sponsor. We're excited to announce they've teamed up with Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, on a new special edition product, a salted caramel chip protein bar. IQ Bar's plant protein bars are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit. For example, my salted caramel chip IQ bar has 12 grams of protein and only a gram of sugar, plus nutrients like lion's mane adaptogen. And 10% of sales go to Chef Keller's nonprofit program, Mentor, supporting the next generation of aspiring U.S. chefs. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are fueling their busy lifestyles with IQ bars and all of their amazing products. I'm in love. When products are co-created by a Michelin star chef, they taste incredible. But what's even more important is how they make you feel. When I started start my day with an IQ bar, I feel amazing. Right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text TMOS to 64000. That's TMOS to 64000. TMOS to 64000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. IQ Bar, the best. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Football is back. Preseason is heating up. College football is here. And the stars are ready to put on a show. Saquon Barkley, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, and Jaden Daniels. I can't wait for this season. And it's so much more than just watching the game. You can get in on the action with Prize Picks, the number one way to play daily fantasy sports in over 40 states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Deposits? Simple. Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard. Withdrawals? Lightning fast, safe, secure, and here's the game changer. Prize Picks invented the flex play. So even if one of your picks doesn't hit, you can still cash out and double your money. This season, don't just cheer. Play like you've got skin in the game. Millions of fans already have. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code TMOS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code TMOS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Scarface and X and publicity stunts and
Cracker Barrel.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, and Uncle Herschel.
Cracker Barrel with that. Damn, it was there and it's gone. It was really important, too. It was something I really wanted to share, and now it's out there, out of my brain, never
It'll
to be
back.
Found again.
How about that?
You think it will?
Of course.
It really, really mm-hmm. will.
When you don't Friday. Need it.
Yeah. Friday?
Labor Friday. Day.
Very exciting. All right, let's move on. I like these polls. Sometimes I don't. This is a poll that I take issue with some of the lists. I might agree with number one. A new poll asked Americans what the scariest natural disasters are. We'll go number nine to number one. Number nine, this one freaks me out because we've seen video of it. We've seen a mudslide.
Yes, I think that's horrifying.
Yeah. Number eight, this is the one that's weird. A blizzard. I'm not freaked out by a blizzard because I grew up where we had blizzards.
And
why
you see
would
it
you
coming
be
for weeks ahead of
yeah.
time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, and I don't know. Are they not talking about like the ones in Iowa where they like are the height of a phone pole? This is just like know. A standard snowstorm.
Maybe,
right?
Maybe they took the survey in Miami.
Could be. Could
never
be.
Seen snow. Never seen. My kids have seen very little snow. Like we were up in the mountains when we went out west. That's the only time. A heat wave or drought is number seven. A flash flood is number six. So far in the 9 to 6, the only ones that scare me are mudslides and flash floods.
Didn't you work with him at WAVA?
Mudslide?
No, flash flood.
Oh, flash flood. Yeah, he carried around a little stuffed animal from Star Wars.
I remember.
Number five is a wildfire. With the videos, that freaks me out
that
when
is,
you
yeah.
see that. Number four, a hurricane. Pretty amazing. We get them down here.
I can't
here.
Believe it's only number four.
Number three is an earthquake.
Oh, I okay. love
another thing you don't get noticed for.
Mm-hmm. A tsunami is number two, mm-hmm. and or tornado is number one. And a tornado would be the scariest for me too, followed by
this.
An earthquake.
Yeah. Oh, I and a huge earthquake, sure. But I've been in two of them, and they're kind of cool.
I didn't think it was cool when we were in Santa Monica and I had to come downstairs via the stairwell. That freaked my ass out.
I thought it was neat.
But a mudslide, which is the number nine on the list, when you see the mudslides, like in China, and they show an entire village getting wiped out. That's mm-hmm. And we didn't have avalanche. That wasn't on there at all. I would have thought avalanche would be
number eight.
Well, that's
a frozen mudslide.
A frozen mudslide. Hey, speaking of that, let's have a drink.
I was going to say, you can get it at TGI Fridays.
Yeah, I don't know. Tornado's pretty darn
I think
scary.
The scariest things for me have to do with water and flooding because of the power behind it. And you've seen it with the hurricanes when the ocean comes up. I mean, just a little bit of water has a lot of power.
But I also should say that with proper attention to the proper authorities, you're not going to die in a hurricane unless you are an idiot
right.
and stay behind. There is no reason. And when you get an evacuation notice, you evacuate.
Yeah.
You do.
Well,
and
that's why those top three are things that happen instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know when I saw a tornado, I evacuated.
That's lovely. What a lovely mental image that is.
Thank you.
I am picturing that. There is just no shortage of people willing to talk to the press about how horrible Ellen DeGeneres is. Another one popped up in the British tabloids this week. The unidentified staffer from Ellen's talk show says she disliked the men that worked for her, and she would get particularly upset with them if they mingled with her wife, Portia de Rossi. The problem was that Portia was nice to everybody, so guys would sometimes be forced into talking to her. Quote, you just hoped and prayed you weren't seated by Portia, so you didn't get her attention. Can you imagine that environment, to work in that environment that is, where somebody is that petty?
And you know what? Think of the twistedness at the base of it. If you are talked to by Portia, then you're in trouble. It's
she's
not you
nice.
Approaching. Yeah.
She's going to engage. You know, if old Ellen takes a peek at this, you're in trouble. Here's the deal. If you did talk to Portia, Ellen would give you what staffers called the Ellen gaze, where she would narrow her eyes and it would look like her cheekbones were sticking out.
Wow.
See, that's why I don't talk to Carla.
There you go. Yeah. Well, here's the supposedly they once went through nine male stage managers in a single season of the TV show. Nine.
That's like one a month. That is moving them in and out.
Check this out. One guy on staff had a kid who needed a bone marrow transplant, and Ellen asked him to reschedule it to coincide with the Christmas holiday week so it wouldn't disrupt the show. Now, when you get these stories from disgruntled employees, how much salt do you take with that? How much really do you...
I think that that's probably partially true. That's where I put it.
Get the multiples where this is not the only person that's laid this kind
of
dirt
the first
at
time,
Ellen's feet.
This is the first time we've heard of some sort of a something that has to do with being protective of her sexuality and her wife. Mm-hmm. Normally, it's just she's a bitch. You know, but this is something where she's twisted and...
Well, that's why they add in the child story.
I suppose, yeah.
I would... as someone who has worked... When someone's a narcissist, that's what they would ask. Can you reschedule it for my purposes so that the show...
You never dealt with that, did
never,
you?
Never did. Like, we're not doing that again. Finally today, a 45-year-old man from Wisconsin was in court this week after he faked his own death. He abandoned his wife. And he abandoned his three kids. He fled the country to go be with his mistress in Eastern Europe. It happened 1 year ago this month. Ryan Borgwart, I'm pronouncing it correctly, B-O-R-G-W-A-R-D-T, Borgwart.
Borgwart.
Borgwart. That sounds like something you'd see in that Temple of Doom.
It sounds like something Ellen would say if she saw you with Portia.
Don't go near the well. You'll release the Borgwart.
Borgwart.
He made it look like he drowned while kayaking last August, but they never found his body. He staged his kayak in a lake. There's the guy. Not a nice person. He paddled an inflatable raft to shore, rode 70 miles on an e-bike, took a bus to Detroit, then Toronto, and hopped three flights to Paris, Asia, and back to Europe. It turned out he'd been talking to a woman from Uzbekistan. We'll meet her in a minute. He'd met her online a few months earlier. Cops eventually found out that he'd gotten a new passport, taken out a $375,000 life insurance policy, and reversed his vasectomy so he could start a new family.
Wow.
They finally tracked him down in Georgia, not the U.S. Georgia, the Georgia over by Russia.
On my mind.
And then they got him back to the United States and charged him with obstruction. That's it? Wisconsin doesn't have a specific charge for faking your own death. He was facing up to 9 months in jail and agreed to a plea deal that lowered it to just 45 days. But the judge rejected the deal and doubled it, or almost doubled it. They sentenced him to 89 days because that's how long he made his family think he was dead. He also had to pay $30,000 to cover the cost of the search and rescue. He said at sentencing, quote, I deeply regret the actions that I did that night and all the pain that I caused for my family and friends. His wife of 22 years filed for divorce 2 days after he got back to Wisconsin last year. It's not clear if his mistress is still in the picture, but a quote from her brother. Her brother said, "You'll never get this. You'll never get this. La, 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 la. My brother, Bilo. My brother, Bilo."
That was her brother. That's
she is number one prostitute in Uzbekistan. There we go.
Very nice.
We got lots more show coming up, ladies and gentlemen. But first, I'd like to tell you about Naked Wines. I'm not drinking it today, but boy, did I like it last week. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. I love this sponsor. Do you ever get lost in the dreaded grocery store wall of wine?
Sure.
Oh, it's nasty, that wall of wine. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to look at. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's a ripoff, what's not a ripoff. It's not just a wine club, Naked Wines. It's a direct line to the world's best independent winemakers, delivering world-class bottles right to your door. Use the code TMOS at nakedwines.com, and you, my friend, will snag six bottles for just $39.99. You can't beat that. Mm-hmm. That's right, six. Here's the secret. Naked Wines cuts out the middleman, saving you up to 60% without ever cutting quality. The result? Incredible wine straight from the vineyard to your glass. Now is the time to join up. Absolutely. The Naked Wines family, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS. Click enter voucher and put in the code TMOS for both the code and password. You'll get six bottles of wine, $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off your first six bottles at nakedwines.com/TMOS. Use the code and password TMOS for six bottles of wine, $39.99, but mostly I like drinking it. There you go. All right, it's been on my show prep. It's come to me from Mr. Rob Spiewak, and it has to do with screw worms.
Yes, Mike, just when you thought everything was okay, like when you woke up this morning, did you worry about COVID?
Nope.
No, because everything's right?
Well, I'm worried about screw worms.
Mike, you should be, because for the first time they have been spotted in America, in Maryland. The screw worm has been spotted in Maryland. Now, you may ask yourself, what is a screw worm?
It's a horny worm.
Nope. The New World screw worm is a flesh-eating parasite that has been detected in the United States for the first time.
Hold on. Flesh-eating?
Let me get to it.
Okay.
It came from a guy that flew back to his home in Maryland. I can't give you a city or anything, but he lived in Maryland. And he came from El Salvador. And when he came back from El Salvador,
shut it all down.
He brought it back.
Walls.
There it is. There it speaks right to your team's narrative right there. It's the screw worms. Now, that's what we have to be afraid of now.
Keep the screw worms out.
The Maryland Public Health.
RFK says they're not real, though, Josh.
The Maryland Department of Health says the risk to people in the United States remains low, but there still is the fact that it's coming to our country for the first time. I want to read to you what a screw worm can do. This comes from the CDC.
This is scary. I don't like screw worms. All these critters thrive in warm weather climates, Rob, like what I lives in.
Mike, the New World screw worm, or NWS, is a species of parasitic flies that can cause miasis, which is a parasitic infection of feeds on live tissue. It primarily attacks livestock, but people can become affected. Symptoms can include very painful lesions around the eyes, nose, and mouth, or maggots in your open lesions.
Wait. The screw worm will lay eggs?
Yes. You see, what happens is they lay the eggs.
Maggots on the line.
Mike, what happens here is it's a fly. And this is a quote from the CDC. It's a fly.
What, the screw worm is a fly?
It starts as a fly because that's, you know, a screw worm will become a fly, but when it's, you know, in its young state, it's still a worm.
Or what it is a pupa.
Yes, larva that does the damage.
Is it a butterfly?
It is not.
I'm turning into Hannibal Lecter right now.
Because once an infestation starts, Mike, that attracts more flies that lay more eggs. And depending on where the wound is, the maggots can make their way into vulnerable tissue like the brain, and the wound can wind up being quite big, and then you get sepsis.
Jesus, that's the most horrific thing. But can I ask a question?
Yeah.
If there's an open wound
on
a human
and
it's got a maggot in it, Yeah. Don't you think the human might notice that it's got a maggot in it?
Maybe, but you got to keep in mind, you got to keep an eye out for the symptoms, Mike, of a screwworm bite.
Where do they exist? Like, what do you have to avoid the screwworm?
To avoid the screwworm, you want to prevent insect bites, especially in visiting tropical areas.
So they're like tiny. That's what it is. They're tiny. They're almost microscopic, so you don't even know.
You have to keep your open wounds clean and covered. And also wear loose-fitting long-sleeve shirts and pants and socks and limit areas where you could get bitten. I want to tell you, you know, you might have it now, so I want to read you the symptoms.
When you mentioned screwworms, though, Rob, I'm reminded of there's a girl at American University lived on the 8th floor, and we called her the screwworm. It's a long story.
Did she have larvae?
not if you use protection.
Mike, the symptoms can include, but are not limited to, unexplained skin lesions, wounds or sores that do not heal. Skin wounds or sores that worsen over time.
Doing okay so far.
Painful skin wounds or sores. Oh. Bleeding from open sores.
Oh. Is this guy in the hospital or is he just wandering around?
Maryland? I think they've taken care of him.
He's at Camden Yards right now waiting for the afternoon game.
He's catching. Mike, this is my favorite. Feeling larvae movement within a skin wound or sore nose, mouth, or eyes.
Oh, my God. So
seeing
nasty.
Maggots open, seeing maggots around or in open sores or a foul-smelling odor from the sight of...
That's the part I'm talking. If you see a maggot...
We have maggots on the line.
What are you, completely stationary? Well, I mean, come on. Don't you brush it off or something?
You got to watch out, Mike, also. For the foul-smelling odor coming from the site.
Okay. Would this be someone who is perhaps neglectful of their own hygiene?
I would think. Yeah.
Screw you, worm.
That's the way I look at it. Mike. So watch out for the screw worm. What happens is so great is, as I said, they lay the eggs in your body, and the rotting of the eggs and the screw worm eating your flesh, that brings more screw worms, more flies. So watch out. And don't go to El Salvador. Because that's apparently where they're coming from. Hopefully we can keep it. You know, I think it would be less surprising if it was like in Florida or maybe Texas, something way down south.
Well, but we have those little like griblies that are in the water you have to be careful of. And I'm very nervous about Michael because he does so much fishing between the bacteria that's in the water here and the fact that he's pulling fish out and you can get a scrape from a bass, you know, the teeth or, you know, you got the alligators that can hide anywhere. So I get a little nervous about that.
But you've got him. He stopped drinking the water, right?
He did. He did. He would be thirsty, and he would reach in and just cup his hand. And, you know, then, after 3 days of diarrhea, that got the message home.
I used to do that, but sadly I was surf fishing, so it was salt water that I was drinking.
And you got very sick.
The more I drank, the more thirsty I was.
Right. And just remember, as we told Rob when he came back from that trip, a boot does not count as a fish, Rob.
Thank you, Mike.
It's not a successful trip.
And then you said, what's that smell? I said, it's my sores.
Hey, look, live maggots.
So watch out for those, Mike. The screw worm will get you every time. We have maggots on the line.
Ew, maggots. We've got I got to get some unfinished business out of the way. But first, I want to tell you the most magical holiday treat is coming. It's at the top of Oprah's favorite things. Everyone wants the TMOS Family Cookbook. Got it. And here's your chance. I was almost going to say change. Here's your chance to get involved. Are you hungry for fame? Or as Rob wrote it, are hungry for fame? Hungry for fun? The Mike O'Mara Show Family Cookbook is your big chance. And we want your recipe inside. Did you write this late at night, just out of curiosity?
No, I tried something new that I'll never try again.
What was it? Some sort of thing that perhaps could talk you into suicide? Is that what it was?
That was probably it, yeah.
Did you write this one pre-gummy?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we want your recipe. That's the bottom line is that's what we want.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to communicate here. If you're chosen, your special dish will be featured alongside Jimmy's Wings, Mama O'Mara's Brownies, Rob's Fruitcake. Submit your best dish, your legendary family favorite, or that secret masterpiece everyone begs you for. But hurry! The deadline is August 31st. The cookbook will be in your hands before the holidays, and you can pre-order now at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Be part of the TMO MLS history. Feed the show, feed the fans, feed the family, feed your ego. The TMOS Family Cookbook. Submit it now before the table is full, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
Send your recipes in to recipe@michaelmaraschow.com.
Thank you, Josh. Mm-hmm. That should have probably also been included. Yes. Get together with your man up there in the right-hand corner, and I'm sure the next one will be top shelf.
I think that you're right.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
He gets really quiet when we do that. So
I get. You know what? I tried AI on it, and I thought it would turn out better than that. And I read through it, and I said, "This is okay," but it wasn't, was it? It was horrible.
Well, it was tough. It's kind of like nuclear power, Rob. You know, the power and the technology is something that's great, but I think human supervision is essential to making sure that it works best for all of us.
Be careful with that AI.
Yeah, of course.
It might tell you to kill you.
No.
That would be terrible.
I think Mike would say it more than the AI right about now.
The AI might be setting you up.
You know, I've got so many little pieces of business here, and none of them really make me look particularly good in this. I'll give you the two I am a bad parent moments.
Okay.
And one does not affect my kid at all. But you know, I've got those electronic drums, right? That I play. Mm-hmm. He maybe has dabbled at it, you know, come in here for fun, but he doesn't really have anything to do with them. And I got them out of storage. And when I got them out of storage, the electronic module that connects to the drums, there's a big, long plug with multiple holes in it that goes to all the different drum heads and cymbals and throughout the drum set. And then you plug it into the back of this module. And then it's got AC power that comes into the back with an adapter that you come in from the wall. I did not know where that was. I got everything except that. And of course, when you have iPads and iPad chargers and Mackie soundboards and vocal processors and gaming systems and stuff in the garage and cables in a big, big box and not knowing, you kind of grab what looks like it might fit. And so I see this particular charging adapter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't read the back. And I plug it in, and then I said, oh, it fits. So I might as well now plug it into the wall. And when I plug it into the wall, on the module itself, I hear, pss, 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 and literal smoke comes out of the module.
That's not good.
That's a very bad thing.
You burned it out.
And so I have waited and waited and waited. Finally, I go, and I make it down to Guitar Center yesterday. And I have no
reason.
Are
you able to buy the specific part? Do you know that when
module?
You go into?
In the event that I wanted to urinate away my hard-earned cash, I could just go and get. And by the way, a lot of these cross brands as far as compatibility, where you can hook the same kind of drums up to a different brand and do it that way. However, you know, there's money involved here, and I don't want to go buy a brand new one. Certainly, if someone can assist me and let me know if A, it might be able to be repaired,
right?
B, if there's a credit because I bought it at the store, whatever. And it would be easy for me to walk in and say, I put the wrong adapter in my little sound module for my electronic drums. And I have no idea why the 20-something guy that I'm talking to, why I have to lie like a dirty, filthy dog. Why do I have to do that?
To advance your agenda.
No, that wasn't why I did it. I did it because of embarrassment that I probably am playing with something that I don't know how to play with. And so I said, you know, when you've got a 12-year-old, you know, he took the adapter and he put it in the back.
I've absolutely done it.
There's no need for the lie. There's no need. Thank you, Jeremy, for the chat. We have the super chat, $9.99. Thank you very much. It's very kind of you. I just lie to this guy. And I continue the lie through to the manager. And the manager has to do this deep dive to find out. He said, did you buy it at the store? And I said, yes, I did. And then he's looking at it. And of course, the longer he spends on the computer looking to see if I bought it at the store, the more my 66-year-old mind says,
Did you buy it at the store?
And
yeah, but you second guess yourself. You absolutely. Second guess,
but they find it. They finally find it. And he said, you didn't buy the Supercare or whatever the hell the program right. is to where yeah. they would have replaced it for me. And by the way, you know, the more I'm so anti-warranty, I really am. I think it's just a quick way. But more and more, I'm finding examples. Apple Care, like you know, where it might benefit you, but
Frigid Air Care.
So now it is in my possession. The sales manager of the store will be getting back to me by tomorrow to let me know what the situation is, and I think it was indicated to me that the sales manager might be trying to get me a replacement unit. And if that's the case, then I will give a salute to the Center for Guitars.
I think that you may have weakened yourself and your case by blaming it on your kid. Now, I've done it. I've done that before. But that still indicates that it was misused or mishandled by someone in your household.
Yeah, I didn't want to lie about
that. I probably would have gone in and just said, this is broken.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's not working.
But that's the Irish guilt.
I hate that argument of this is broken. I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. And then you open it up and you're like, clearly someone dumped water in this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Do you know the story about my father when he was having trouble getting cable television at his apartment? And it just wasn't working. And he got very frustrated. And he took the remote. Remember, remotes used to be pretty big. Mm-hmm. And he threw it as hard as he could against the wall. And it exploded. Mm-hmm. Pieces and buttons and batteries and everything. And then, you know, he got it working. And he said, oh, I don't have a remote. So he picked all the pieces up and put them in a bag. And went
and
down to
the TV working?
Yeah, everything was fine. Except
how did he get it working without a remote?
I think it was a matter
of buttons on a TV.
Yeah, the buttons on the TV. But he couldn't change and do the volume without the remote. So he took the bag of pieces.
I thought the remote specifically is for the cable system, Josh. That it's not
yeah,
on the TV.
Yeah, there's buttons on that also.
Yeah, this was a long time ago.
But I'm
Media
saying the
General
one he
days.
Threw against the wall is what I'm talking about. That maybe the one that he threw against the wall was the one that got disrupted, and that's why the buttons on the TV wouldn't necessarily help in that situation.
The remote
You'd
was
need
fine.
The remote. No. What?
The remote was fine. The remote was working. The TV wasn't. Then the TV stopped. The remote stopped working when he threw it against the wall and it shattered.
That's what I'm saying. So in order to get it back without the remote, I would imagine that would have been difficult to do.
In any case, he went down to Media General.
I'll help you out. What happened? The cable remote, he shattered. So he was able to then turn the TV on. He had a picture, but he could not change the channel or control the volume because he needed the remote. Is that correct, Rob?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Okay, so he
Rob
took
was, would have said that no matter what you said I thought, just then.
No, that's a lie.
I thought Rob's camera broke and he was frozen.
Yes, I'm the liar. Go ahead.
No,
yes.
I wouldn't have said that. I want to make it clear. Anyway, he goes down to Media General.
He must have a really good arm, like a catcher.
Yes, he does. Very good. They didn't want to put him in the outfield. So he has a Ziploc bag with the shattered remote in it, and he goes to Media General and he hands it to them and says, I need a new remote. They said, what happened? He says, I dropped it. So that's another example of the lie. Because it's
not
a
really.
Thousand pieces.
He didn't tell him he threw it up against the wall. He said he just gently dropped it on
there. Dropped it and it came to pieces.
By the way, speaking of remotes, and this is another digression here, the new sofa that we got, the slightly cheaper one that we got, the chair that I had in there before, if you happen to have a, say, iPhone or a remote that might slide in, always had a little area where you could, not this new one. This new one eats the Samsung remote and it goes into spots that I can't even tell you. It's twice now where it has eaten a remote and we have been unsuccessful in locating it until we just got lucky. In one case, that you know a Samsung remote is that narrow black remote, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In one case, it was standing on end,
is this
flush.
It?
It's even smaller than that.
Okay.
It was standing on end, flush against the black matting or whatever they use in the inside of the sofa. Mm-hmm. And Carla, with her eyes, I couldn't see S. And she says, well, there it is. And then the next time, it had a slight pocket that was between their little fake container where you lifted it. You know these sectionals that have all the BS things
where you can hide and tuck and all that stuff.
Yeah. Where you store the remote.
Yeah. And That's true.
I mean, that's what it's designed for.
I know. I know. I don't like that. I like having it right next to my ass cheek. That's where I like having my remote. And, you know, I get excited.
I'd suggest go on eBay and purchase a few extra remotes.
I know.
So then
I know.
You have like three lying around that room.
Isn't it amazing, though, when a remote goes missing, how life-changing it can be sometimes? Mm-hmm. You know, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? So let me get to the second bad parenting thing. So blaming my kid, no reason to blame my kid. The second thing, Rob, this one's for you.
Okay,
last
thank you.
Night was back to school night at my kid's school. I am down now. I drive him to school. I've driven him. I've put 500 miles on my car driving this kid to different practices and all that. I get Carla on the line. This is now 3:30 in the afternoon when he gets out of golf practice. We go to a separate location, not the school. This is after I took him to the school. This is when I fell asleep in the car this week and all right. the, you know, all this. I said to my wife, I said, oh, boy. I said, back to school night, right? Yeah. Carly goes, yeah. I said, all right. You know, last year he was new to middle school. It was kind of
something. Yeah.
Did you ever bag it? Did you ever bag parents' night?
We did.
We did last.
Night. It depends on.
I feel guilty. I feel Irish guilt again, though.
I do remember that we would go if it was like the first time in that school.
Okay.
But if it was, you know, just rote, we didn't do it. And then there was times when we had two of them. At the same night with different schools because of the age difference. So we
age
did that one.
Kids.
Yeah. We talked ourselves into it by saying, let's do this and we'll go out to dinner afterwards.
The reason I'm guilty is that the one we did last year was such a positive experience because these teachers were really well prepared. And I feel a little pang of guilt that we weren't there. But
guess what? They don't care.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's just,
is fun people watching though. I think it was Julia's first time in middle school, which would have been, I forget the name of her middle school, but we went there, Smarts Mill. And the guy who sat next to me, I knew sort of tangentially from neighborhood stuff.
Yeah.
And during a quiet part, he leaned over and he says, nobody knows this, but I've had three drinks.
I remember that when
and
you
I
told
said,
that story.
As the evening went on, everyone knew he had three drinks. But that was. But you know what? If I didn't go, I wouldn't have had that wonderful nugget of entertainment.
When are you a high schooler? When do the assignments need to be put in?
Are you going
to
light a Bunsen burner?
Josh, I talked over you. What's
going
on?
I was just wondering if there was any embarrassment concerns of that's the guy that fell asleep in the line. That's the guy that blocked it off.
That
you'd
one,
be the people watcher.
Oh, my God.
It would be bad if you fell asleep at back to school night.
You know, just to reference that one last time, if I'm in back of that person, I am so pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're there early and, you know, that person's just out of it and sound asleep.
What if you are that person, though? How do you feel?
You feel mortified.
Yeah.
But then again, that's your, you know, even during this show, that's usually your state of affairs. So you're kind of used to that. That's the way that goes. Thank you. And the last part, I don't even have to talk about it. I'm addicted to sunflower seeds.
Well, everyone knew this.
Yeah, that's true. But Carla says, don't eat them in bed. Anyway.
Oh, that's worse than crackers.
No, it's very, very, very difficult. So my apologies to everybody. Rob's got some beautiful video coming up. But first, this podcast brought to you by Fair Harbor. Josh likes his swim trunks from Fair Harbor so much.
He does.
That he is actually wearing them under his cargo shorts right now as we speak. Are they comfortable, Josh?
Oh, they're extremely soft.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Fall is in the air. That means your days of tossing on a tee and shorts are done. But don't panic. Fair Harbor makes the transition painless. Why juggle one pair of pants for work, another for weekends, and a third for dinner when one perfect pair does it all? Enter the Horizon Pant.
The Horizon Pant.
Wait a minute. I need some sound for the Horizon Pant. All right.
Okay.
Hold on just a second. Where is it? There we go. Okay, good. Enter the Horizon Pant. Tailored enough for the office, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Wonderful. Soft enough for the couch. Stretchy enough for whatever questionable decisions you make on Saturday night.
Stretchy.
Honestly, once you put them on, you may never take them off. And this isn't just about looking good. It's about doing good. Fair Harbor has already turned over 37 million plastic bottles into buttery soft essentials. So you're saving the planet and your wardrobe. From tees and layers to those game-changing pants, Fair Harbor keeps you ready for salt, sand, and city streets. All with the same comfort that got them 70,000 five-star reviews. I promise you, you'll love them. So head to fairharborclothing.com/TMOS20 and use TMOS20 for 20% off your order. That's Fairharbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, clothing.com/TMOS20 for 20% off. And make sure that you use the promo code TMOS20 so they know Josh Soroka sent you. Go get yourself some pants you'll actually brag about. Now, will you be getting in your pool?
Hey,
and,
I like
oh,
that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. Will you be getting in your pool and floating around in Fair Harbor pants?
Well, I don't have a pool here, so I think I'll just have to walk around in the pants.
Okay. Where did you... Was that the community pool that you did?
No, that was in the Outer Banks.
Oh, the Outer Banks. Okay,
do you have a hose?
I do have a hose.
You could play in the sprinkler. No, you could play in a sprinkler.
Very exciting. Now you can play your thing. Sorry for stepping on it.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
I love more music.
More music, more fun, WNEA.
It's pretty hard not to like Jelly Roll. His voice is wonderful. I think he's a great performer, and he's definitely a unique guy to look at. He's lost now over 200 pounds, and he's on tour in Germany, and he is finally, for the first time in his life, skinny enough to ride on an electric scooter, and he's very proud of this.
Man, it's your boy Jelly Roll, and I am in Berlin, Germany. I'm doing a European tour for the first time ever. Thank you, Post Malone, for bringing me all the way to Europe with you. More importantly than even that, because this is big news in my world, I haven't been skinny enough to ride a scooter like this in like 8 years. No, 12 years. 10 years. Anyways, first time riding a scooter, straight through the streets of Berlin, baby. What do you do? Just kick it?
Yeah, put one foot, and then you'll feel it kicking.
There he goes.
Bad guy on a little scooter.
He's just a likable dude. There's just nothing you can't like about the guy.
Wouldn't
right?
you love to hang with him?
Oh, absolutely.
Especially
it's a great story. I mean, it's a great redemption story, yeah. too, which I think those are fantastic.
He's a fat guy on a little scooter. Mike, when I say to you Matt Leinart, quarterback for the Cardinals, what jumps to mind? Anything?
Losing.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
His son recently asked one of the things, a Siri or one of those voice-activated questions about Matt Leinart while he's in the room. And this is what happened.
Hey, Alexa, Matt it was. Leinart. From LeafSports.com, Matt Leinart was a Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback at USC and a top 10 NFL draft pick.
What?
But his pro career didn't amount to much.
Whoa, that is so horrible. That is
really
so, but
tough,
his pro career didn't amount to much.
and that was a setup. Mom and the kid already knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've done it when he wasn't home and had
so
to embarrass
funny.
Him.
It's
still great.
It's so
still
funny.
Great.
I love
Now, Mike,
that.
I know you have all of Skid Row's albums.
Oh, yeah. I love them. I really do. I love putting on my sleeveless black T-shirt and going out to the concert.
Yeah, you bought them before they were big, and you support them now that they're legendary.
Yeah, they were too tight for me because I bought them before they were big.
But Sebastian Bach, the noted lead singer, has been criticized on social media about his stage singing, and he has a nice, quiet, measured reply to all of his critics.
I got to bring something else up. Like, YouTube is so hilarious. I see videos of guys that call themselves vocal experts or vocal instructors or whatever. And these idiots watch a video of me on stage, like at Wembley Stadium, running around with no shirt on in 100-degree weathers. And I'll do a note like in my concert footage, and they'll sit in their chair and like go, like sitting in their chair, watching it on YouTube, thinking that that's the same f-ing thing as me running around on stage in the summertime, and I don't get to sit down.
Oh, pardon me. I didn't mean to put my
He's so articulate.
He
it's
is.
Kind of hard to decipher. I think his point is that he is challenged by the motion of who knows.
I think also I would be interested in seeing all the times he performed at Wembley Stadium because he's in Skid Row.
Yeah.
He's not Queen. Mm-hmm. He's not the Rolling Stones.
I get it.
But anyway, lay off him.
Right.
Meanwhile, Mike, let's close with this. Kevin got loose.
Kevin?
Kevin the peacock. And so they had to send.
Haven't there been multiple animals on this show called Kevin?
I think it should be the name for all of them if we don't have any more.
By the way, I don't like a male Karen. I think we should call them Kevins.
I think that's great.
Kevin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A Kevin came up to the car.
Do you have a Kevin in your life of someone who's actually named Kevin?
Yeah. At Happy Valley, I do.
Yeah.
At Happy Valley. There's a guy, his name is Kevin.
Kevin.
And if you make, I think the funniest line was, if a mosquito burped, he'd hear it. And if you make any sound whatsoever when he's getting ready to hit a shot,
yeah.
there will be no admonition with the look. He will simply glare. He'll give you an Ellen glare when that happens. So he's a Kevin.
Have you ever been glared at by Kevin?
Oh, putting a driver back into the bag after I teed off. And then I get this. All right. So make some metal sound, Rob, when you do it. All right. And so I'll be like...
You should, Mike, at that point, ask him in the best Pennsylvania dialect you can do. Just say, did you hear that?
Or, did you hear something?
Kevin. Kebum. Well, anyway, this Ohio peacock got loose, and they called the cops. And I feel sorry for this policeman because he has to take it seriously. I apologize for the background music. That was actually put on by the police department.
Okay.
Be advised, this is a lost peacock. Six has the owner en route. We're just going to try and keep it on the post property.
Kevin, you need to go back to them. Kevin, do not come here.
There he is.
Head out. Kevin's coming back your way.
42, go ahead.
Burke County, the bird's name is Kevin. What are you talking
about? Kevin.
Right, we have Kevin.
Are those the owners?
Yes, and I love the fact that...
Why do they need the cop?
I don't know, but he says, the bird's name is Kevin. He may respond to that.
Be advised, Kevin is attempting to flee.
Oh, Kevin's going to flee.
Kevin's owner's on scene.
Oh, here she comes.
Hi!
Here she's marching right up. Now, there's the real owner. Oh, yes, put food out.
Oh, Kevin's thrilled.
There you go.
There we go.
Wow.
Okay.
I don't know. Have you ever dealt with a peacock? They're horribly big birds.
Yeah, but you know what I can say about Kevin? And
what's
it was
that?
A nice police officer, because if I was that officer, that's what tasers are for.
I smell meat.
And one time for Wembley Stadium.
He really did play Wembley Stadium?
Yeah, it looks like one song at a benefit.
Okay, well, good for him. I stand corrected.
Here's
now
the interesting
I think he's
thing.
Sane.
Jimmy Cerrito was there, Josh. He was in the second row, which is there isn't any kind of metal that Jimmy doesn't want to go see. Let's go see right now.
Skid Row.
By the way, the bonus show tomorrow, we got an interesting one. Some very, very interesting, slightly blue limericks that I curated and that I'd like to share.
From the Mike O'Mara Presidential Library?
No, it's from the Mike O'Mara self-serving I enjoyed them file.
I love that.
Then, I would say there's about a 20% chance that the listeners might like them, but it doesn't matter. We're going to do them on the show. And also, we might talk about divorce American style. It's always interesting, and that and lots more coming up. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new bonus show if you subscribe. If you don't subscribe, well, hey, what are you doing?
Come on now. You know what, Mike? Get on the stick. Order
Absolutely.
It. Yes.
Have a great weekend. Be safe, everybody, and we'll be back again on Tuesday after the Labor Day weekend with a brand new episode. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Come here, Kevin.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You know, when my inner decorator kicks in, I can't be stopped. Everything is daffodils and duck stencils, you know what I'm saying?
Cold, flu, strips, even COVID.
every disease cured with ease by this blessed formula based on ancient scripture.
Fiddlesticks. I'm just a man, same as you are.
You're not a man, you're a bishop, for God's sakes!
There is no God.